Right there, yeah. Tom's got them. Need a paper. Hold your hand up. Ephesians chapter 3, we'll start. Maybe we can finish up the chapter tonight. That'd be good if we can. Give you a little bit of review since we was in revival last week. And we'll look here and see what the Lord has for us tonight, all right? I hope that we've not been boring you with Ephesians, but we've been trying to go slow on a purpose, simply because we don't want to rush the Word of God, but there's so much in it we don't want to miss nothing if we can keep writing. And Ephesians is a rich book. It and Colossians go together, and I'm sure you've already saw the similarities between Colossians and Ephesians. I think, what was it, 90-some verses in Ephesians that's repeated, or Colossians that's repeated in Ephesians. All right? And almost word for word, almost. And so we appreciate the Word of God. Prison epistles, as Paul wrote to the church of Ephesus, and wrote to the church of Colossae, wrote to the church of Philippi, and then Philemon. I believe them are our four prison epistles. All right, Ephesians chapter 3. Everybody set? Ephesians chapter 3. Let's pray together, can we? Father, we come tonight, and Lord, I'm looking forward to the day that there's no more storms and no more rough water. But until then, your presence is so important. You don't protect us by saying something. You walk with us and you move inside of us. And we have constant protection. You don't send somebody else. You do it yourself. And I sure am glad for your faithfulness. I'm glad it don't depend on my faithfulness. I'm glad it just depends on you, and we sure do love you tonight. Now, I do ask that you to search me, cleanse me, and help me to be more like you just now. Open my mind and my heart that I might be led of the Holy Spirit, directed in the way I need to teach and preach. And may our hearts be open to receive the Word of God tonight. And may we rejoice and give you praise for the simplicity of the Word of God, how it enriches our soul. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And again, help us tonight, I pray, in Jesus' name, and amen. Ephesians chapter 3. I want to start in verse 11. All right, then just go back for just a couple of verses there, review. And we've tried to show simply in chapter 2 that everyone is the same, Jew and Gentile alike, that there's no difference when it comes to the gospel, that everybody is the same, that we're all equal. We're all equal sinners. And don't ever forget that. There's no big sinners or little sinners. There's nobody worse than we are, because the Bible plainly teaches in James that if we offend in one place, we're guilty of all. So there's nobody any better than the other. All right. And then now Paul writes in chapter 3, and we one verse there in verse 7 I like really well. It says, "Whereof I was made a minister, the Lord made Paul a minister to us, to the Gentile." He made him. It wasn't something Paul chose. Paul was a Jew. And God made him a spokesman to the Gentile. And because of the Apostle Paul, we got the gospel. That's really, would be just about as plain as you can make it, because of how God used the Apostle Paul. And of course, we have our Bible. And the majority of the New Testament is written by Paul. But let's look here at verse 11. "According to the eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord." I'm glad that nothing just don't happen, that there is a purpose, that Christ, there's a purpose with the work of Christ in our hearts. I want to remind you that we are one body. We are one body. We're a body of believers. And we're not, it's not a denominational body. It is a body born again, born again believers of every walk of life of all over the world. But it's only one gospel. There's only one gospel, and everybody that becomes part of that body has to believe the same gospel. It's the same gospel, the same truth. By grace are you saved through faith. It's not of ourselves, it is the gift of God. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He has saved us by the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost. I mean, we are saved that way. It's still how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, was buried, that He rose again the third day according to the Scripture. Now, all that's the same, but anybody that will believe that and receive Christ, anybody that will receive Christ, John chapter 1 makes it plain. He came into His own. Speaking of Christ, He came into His own. His own received Him not. But as to many, as many as would receive Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. So it's anybody that will. But anybody that receives Christ is part of the body. And it don't matter whether it be Jew or Gentile, male or female, bond or free, that don't matter. Okay, and an eternal purpose. Now, this eternal purpose is that one new man, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. Everybody still with me? Now, again, let's look and read verse 11 again. According to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, look at verse 12. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. So we have boldness to come to the throne of grace boldly. We have access because of Christ. We all have equal access. I can go to Christ. You can go to Christ. We can all go to Him in prayer. He is our prayer partner. He turns no one away. We can all talk to God through Jesus Christ. Think about that. We all have access because of Christ. It's not because of us, but because of Christ. Now, I know we've been repeating it over and over, but it's necessary that we understand the equality in the body. Now, Paul wrote to the church of Corinth and said that even the feeble members are necessary. All right? Now, I mentioned here probably 4 weeks ago, I made a statement that there's been time maybe we have thought or felt or in places, maybe not necessarily here, but, well, we don't need them. I'm glad they're gone. Well, that's foolish. Because everybody is important. Everybody is important. Now, the Lord wants all of us to do right. All right? Everybody is important, though. Think about that. And we've compared ourselves to the different parts of our body as Paul did to the church at Corinth in chapter 12 there in Corinthians. Okay? We still okay? Now, we're going to start in verse 13. So I'm going to read on down through verse 21. And you'll notice in verse 13, Ephesians 3:13, wherefore. Now that wherefore, because of what has been said before, all right, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him, wherefore, all right, wherefore, now, it's going to start. We're going to see a prayer here in just a moment. But Paul says, wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Now, verses 20 and 21 could probably be the theme verses or the main verses even of the whole chapter, because everything is by him, through him, for him, all for Christ anyway. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. That's major. According to the power that worketh in us. And then unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Now, if you look here at your paper, we're going to start there in verse 13 now. Paul is encouraging the people I was reading, I think it was John Phillips, a commentator from England, and he said that Paul had then got so engrossed in mind with heavenly things and the cause of Christ that somebody must have shook his chain and was chained to, because then he stopped and said, "Wherefore I desire, don't worry about my tribulation." He wasn't worried about it at all, and he wanted to make sure nobody else was worried about him being in bonds because of them. I don't know if that happened or not, but I understand why he said that. But it says, "Wherefore I desire that you faint not that my tribulation is for you." Now Paul's telling the church here to make sure don't fret because I'm in prison. Because I'm in prison, it's for your good that I'm in prison. Because I'm bringing the gospel to the Gentile people and bringing it to you. And it's good that I'm where I'm at. All right? So don't faint. And don't faint if tribulation comes your way. Now, when he tells them not to faint, anywhere you see a encouragement not to faint, now, just go ahead and take it for all you can get out of it. Don't faint. Don't quit. Don't back up. But regardless of what happens to anybody else, you hang right in there, okay? And that's what he's saying there. He wanted them to know that he was bringing them the gospel and the word of God at a high cost. Now, it's his cost, but it was for them. Now look at verse 14. For this cause. For what cause? Because I'm doing this for you. Because it's for your sake. It's for the gospel to get to you, that you might have a fellowship or communion with Christ. Mm-hmm. Now, everybody look at me tonight. Understand this. God does save us from hell. He does. We know that. But his purpose is that he saves us for fellowship, that we might walk together. He didn't just save us to be like a robot and then spend eternity in heaven, but he saved us that we might become part of his bride, that there be an intimate relationship between him and us. It's more than just being saved from hell, but it's that we would walk with Christ and talk with Christ. I cannot imitate Christ. The thing about that, you can't imitate Christ. You might do some things like Christ, but you can't imitate him. So, he fixed it. So when he saved us, he moved inside. And it's Christ in me, hope of glory. And that Christ in me then enables me to live like Christ is. Are you following me? That's why it's important that we understand the scripture, Christ in you, hope of glory. That we all are one body, that we walk according in this flesh, we walk according to the Savior that's inside, okay, in that relationship. All right? Now, not only is it good for us that we walk with Christ, but it's a good testimony that Christ is in us. But it brings glory to the Father because of the price that he paid to redeem us, that the Lamb that was slain might receive glory for his suffering. And we being trophies of the grace of God, that's why it's so important that we walk in Christ, that we talk in Christ, that we fellowship with Christ. Because we are his bride. Now, understand this. We are his bride. We're not just going to heaven to have our own family. That don't work. We're going to be his family. We're going to be with Christ for eternity. As we get married here to be together, we're married off to Christ to be together for all eternity. As we're married here to fellowship and to become one, we're married unto Christ to become one in fellowship. As we marry here because of love, we come to him because of the love we're going to look at here in just a moment. And that relationship is greater than any fleshly relationship you ever had. It's stronger than a husband and wife. It's stronger than a parent and a child. It's stronger than a grandparent and a grandchild. There's no greater relationship than the fellowship with the Christ, because Christ is in us. And it's the hope of glory. Do you understand that? It's no little thing to be saved. Does everybody understand that? It's no little thing. It's a major thing. And it's an eternal thing. Are we still okay? Now, so let's look here in verse 14. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Paul's getting ready to pray. He bows down before the Father. All right? Everybody follow me?
Yeah.
And look at verse 15. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. God is the Father, not of all people. There's no universal fatherhood of God. You only become a child of God when you receive Christ. Okay? But he's equal. The Father is equal. What is it? The first time I heard it, I think Sam and Autumn sung, I don't know if it was here at the old church where it was at, he loves me like I was his only child. As the first people ever heard singing, all right? And that's how it is. He is the Father of all. It says, is everybody still with me? I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. He's my Father. But Teddy's your Father. Well, Janie, he's your Father. Well, Cheryl Ann, he's your Father. But he's my Father. He's mine. See, we can say that. He's mine. He's mine. He's your Father, Rick. He's your Father, Ken. But y'all sister and brother, does that not make sense? He should be y'all. Right. Me and Cheryl are husband and wife. But we're also, that's my sister wife. Right. And I'm her brother, husband, pastor. Okay? But I mean, that's not how, I mean, think about it. That's really how it is. Because that's why we can say brother and sister. That's why we sing the song. Teddy will request it every now and then. And he even sung when he led singing. I'm so glad I'm a part of what? The family of God. If you wonder why we call one another brother and sister, because we're born in the family, and that's what this is saying here. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. See, again, there's no differences. There's not a body over there and a body over here. It's one people, one bride. One Christ that's the head. And every believer, and I'm stressing that, and I've stressed it ever since we started, because of the importance, because that takes away prejudices. That takes away self-righteousness. Alright? Or should. Alright? Because we are a prejudiced people. And we are naturally a self-righteous people. Huh? And that will take all that away when we understand that I may be the member that's more feeble, the comely part, that's not as important as the eye or the ear or the nose or the mouth. I might be that uncomely part that nobody speaks of, but I'm still part of the body. I'm just as important. Okay? Now, as Paul's praying here, Paul starts his prayer. Now, if you go back just for a moment, look back in chapter 1. And if you read 15 down through the last part of the chapter there, verse 23, you see Paul praying again there. He's praying for the people there, the church at Ephesus. And think about that. Now he's going to start again at verses 14. He's going to pray again. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you. Now, here's what he's praying for us. That he would grant, that God would grant us, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Now, something that you may not have noticed, you may have noticed it, but I don't know if you did or not, but in chapter 3, you'll find the whole Trinity being spoken of, especially verses 13 through 21, that we have the Father, and we have the Son, and we have the Holy Spirit all working together for the glory of God in the body of Christ. All of us working together. All that working in us. Are we okay with that?
Yeah.
Now, verse 16. All right, that God would give strength to the inner man according to the riches of his glory by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, let's look at a couple of scriptures. Now, you may not understand all this. Look in Romans chapter 9. We're trying to get you to see the importance of one, the importance of the inner man, the importance of God's mercy and grace working in all of us the same. Is everybody following me? Romans chapter 9, let's look here at verse 20. It says, nay, but O man, who art thou that replieth against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much longsuffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, that he might make known, now notice it, the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had afore prepared unto glory. Now that's what we're looking at in verse 16. That he might grant us according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened. Are you seeing it together here? We okay? Talk to me if you see. Which he had afore prepared unto glory. Back in Romans chapter 9, verse 23. Which he had afore prepared unto glory. Verse 24. Even us, whom he hath called not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. You see all the scripture we've read where it's not just for one, that we're one body, that it's all for the same, that we all are equally shown the riches of the glory of his grace. All right? Now, again, one of the reasons that I want you to see this is because there is doctrines out there, false doctrines out there, that want to do a replacement. It's called replacement theology.
Yes.
That puts the church replacing Israel, and it's not necessary.
Right.
Because all the promises and blessings for Israel were all earthly promises.
That's right.
All right? But for the church, they're all heavenly promises. Okay? So it's not necessary to have a replacement theology, but that's what is taught even in some Baptist churches. Okay? Is everybody still with me? Now look at verse 25, Romans 9:25. As he saith also in OC, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Again, he's letting us know that we were Gentiles, we weren't his people. But because of Christ and all, now we are his people. And we are allowed to have the fullness of the riches of Christ like everybody else. See, you understand we was left out. Huh? We was left out, but that wasn't God's purpose. His purpose before the foundation of the world, we was going to get in there. But he had to do some things before we done. Is everybody still with me? Turn over to 2 Corinthians. Does everybody understand me tonight?
Yes,
2 Corinthians chapter 4. Now, the preacher preached on this last week. And I just want you to notice the last part of this verse, especially 2 Corinthians chapter 4. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the what? Is renewed day by day. See, that inward man is the important man.
Right.
This outward man is going to perish, but that inward man is that eternal fellowship with the Father and with the Son. Does everybody understand that? Go back to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit, whereat? In the inner man. That in the inner man is where we have our fellowship. Why is that? Somebody tell me, why is that? Because this flesh won't fellowship with God. This fellowship is sinful. This flesh is sinful that hinders my fellowship. But that inward man, why is that inward? Because Christ is in me. He's showing me how to live. He's teaching me how to live. I don't know how to speak, so he teaches me how to speak. I don't know when to speak, so he teaches me when to speak. Alright? I don't know how to walk, so he teaches me how to walk. Because if I'm going to walk, I don't walk according to the flesh. I'm supposed to walk according to the Spirit. Is that not what Paul wrote to the church of Galatia? That we walk in the Spirit, huh? Because of Christ. Is everybody following? You see how all this runs together? Huh? And Paul is praying for the church of Ephesus that they be strengthened in this. That their inner man be strengthened. Why? Because of tribulation that they already was seeing. Because of the false doctrine that was in Ephesus. Huh? Because of the tribulations that he was going through, being in jail, that they could very well be in trouble because of Paul, what he was teaching them. And he wanted their inner man strengthened.
Alright,
let me ask you this. How many of you get weak and say to yourself, you can't? How many of you, well, let me do this. How many has a hard time living a Christian life? On your own. We can't do it.
Right.
Paul is praying that our inner man be strengthened. Huh?
Yeah.
Because of what we have. Are we okay? And that's what I see here. You still all right? Talk to me.
Yeah.
All right. Now, let's look here at verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. See, that's how it all comes by faith.
Yeah.
That ye being rooted and grounded in love. Now, that indwelling Christ in the heart of the believer. That Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith because of Christ in us.
Right.
Right? That's what roots us. That's where our foundation is. Right? It's rooted with God. We're hid with Christ in God.
Amen.
Okay, that's what Paul told the church of Colossae. Right? Now, only Christ can comprehend the depth of his love. I cannot. Alright? That ye being rooted, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend. But well, I can't comprehend other than what Christ is in me. I can't do it. Are we still okay? Are you following what I'm telling you tonight? Now, Christ manifesting himself in us, his Spirit, God's Spirit, Christ in me. Hope of glory. Christ is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. But then he said when he was ascended there in John, he tells us that he's going to come back as a comforter. And he's going to move in. And he's going to share inside of me and teach me all things that I need to know that I might be able to comprehend with all saints the greatness of Christ, the greatness of God for His glory. All right? Are we okay? All of this. And this is how we grow tonight. Does that make sense to you tonight? Now, when I think about this praying, that believers be empowered, verses 14 through 16, is that we be empowered by the Spirit of God. All right? That we would understand His infinite love there in verses 17 and 18. Okay? That we might be filled with the fullness of everything, verse 19. All right? Are we still okay? That we all might be to God's glory in verse 21. This is all in that prayer, okay?
Yeah.
Talk to me if you understand what I said. Yeah. All right? Now, let's go back. Verse 18. And may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. Now, I personally believe, all right, when you mention the love of God and the love of Christ, I don't believe you can know that without the cross.
Right. Amen.
I believe the cross is proof of His love.
Yeah, absolutely.
I believe just telling that He loves us is only words that would be void without the cross. That's why it's so important that if we glory in the cross. That's what Paul said. And there we see the four points of the cross, but it goes further than that. But I just wanted you to think of it with the cross, the breadth, height, length, and depth, and to show the love of Christ. Now, we're going to have to look at, if we're going to look at the love, we don't just look at the love at the cross. We've got to look in eternity past, where the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. So the love of Christ started in the mind of God when God said, I will put on a robe of flesh and be slain for the people. Before there was ever a people. That's how far back the love of Christ goes. We got to comprehend that God didn't start loving us because you didn't do anything for God to love you. I never done anything for God to love me. He loved me before I ever was. Because He's an eternal God. And He loved me from eternity past. But then the length of His love shows a measurement. So it's from eternity past to eternity all the way that direction. That He'll never, ever quit loving you. Can I tell you, He never quits loving those in hell. There's no scripture that He ever quits loving anybody. Whether they accept Him or reject Him, the love of an Almighty God through Christ is eternal. From everlasting to everlasting. Think about that. And He tells us that I'm praying that y'all might comprehend that. That's how important you are. See? Are we still okay? Now, think about it. The breadth, the span, or the broadness, of His love. Who all does it take in? It takes everybody in. How long is it? From eternity to eternity. How broad is it? It brings in everybody. And then we think, it says here, may be able to comprehend with all things what is the breadth and the length and the depth. How deep does it go? How deep does His love go? Our love don't go very deep. We'll quit loving. If somebody gets too raunchy, we'll quit loving. Will we not? Now, we will say we love them, but if they're very raunchy, we don't want nothing to do with them. But not the Lord. They don't get too raunchy if the Lord don't want them. They don't get too raunchy if the Lord won't take them. Nobody stinks too bad that he won't hug on.
Right. Amen.
Huh? You ever got near somebody? It's, I can't handle.
Yeah.
Okay. Huh? Not the Lord.
Right.
He don't care what they smell like physically. He don't care what they've been in. He don't care the sewer that they've lived in. He don't care the sewer that's in their life. He don't care how wretched, how poor, how blind. It don't matter whether they be a beggar. Listen, he took care of the lepers that no one wanted. He done that physically. But it went deeper because he didn't worry about the outside. He looked at the inside and the breadth and the length and the depth of his love. He loves everybody equally. Can I tell you, he don't love anybody more than the other. Everybody's equal.
Right.
And Paul's praying that we comprehend that. Why does Paul want us to get that? Because he got it.
Yeah.
See, before Paul didn't have that.
Right.
See, before Paul ever met Christ, he was a Pharisee of the strictest sin. And he persecuted the church.
Yeah.
But yet he said he'd done it ignorantly, in unbelief. And he persecuted the church because he looked down upon those who believed on Christ. And when he learned that, when he came to Christ, then he learned that there was no difference. And when God taught him the gospel,
yeah,
and taught him that there the mystery of the body and of the church, then he wants us to understand the same thing.
Yeah.
Can I tell you, if we'll comprehend this, we'll be soul winners?
Yeah.
Can I tell you this? If we'll comprehend the love of Christ for us, that we'll talk to everybody about Christ because we'll love them like our own children and we'll love them like our own grandchildren, whether they be a stranger or anything, it won't matter if we'll comprehend the love of Christ. Are we okay with that? Think about that. Then it says here that we might be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. Well, how high does it go? It goes to the throne. Would it not go that far?
Oh, yeah.
If we look at this, we can see the depth, the lowest sinner. How about if we just keep it here on earth and we look at the best sinner? How about the highfalutin sinner? Instead of just the poor hick sinner. Huh? Did you know that there are denominations that don't want everybody? Did you know that there's one good thing, I reckon, about the Baptists? They've always been after the people on the other side of the tracks, as they say. Yeah, they've always went to the... Now, it ain't that they don't get saved or can't get saved. It's not that there's not doctors and lawyers and judges and stuff in Baptist churches. But can I tell you, there's more drunks and dope heads and harlots and whoremongers in the Baptist church.
Right.
Because that's the one that society always shuns. And it seems like that's who the Baptists go. But can I tell you, it's still, if we're not careful, we'll look down on them people above us.
Right, yeah.
Huh? Which is virtually impossible, but we'll look down on those above us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And Paul's telling us if we'll understand and comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and verse 19, and to know the love of Christ.
Yeah.
But look what it says here. That it passeth knowledge. It passes all. We don't know. We can't even grasp it. All right? We still okay?
Yes.
See, we're all saved because of the cross. From every walk of life, it all comes together. Huh? To know the love of Christ is beyond our understanding. That God loves us. That the Creator died for us. That the Creator would move inside of us through His Holy Spirit to give us life. Is that not amazing?
Yeah.
Huh? I don't know that we grasp that.
Right.
That He lives in me.
Right.
Huh? We read it in the Scripture. Garth sung it to us 1,000 times.
Yes.
He lives in me.
Yeah.
It's amazing, ain't it, Garthy? He lives in me.
Yes.
Does He live in us?
Yeah.
Does He live in you?
Yeah.
But see, this is what is supposed to be directing our steps. This is what's supposed to be changing our conversation. This is what is the light that shines inside of us. It's not my light. It's the light that can't be hid. That's set upon a hill that cannot be hid. It's the light of Christ in me.
Right.
Huh? Are we still okay? And to know the love of Christ with passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. See, it's so important. All right? So let's look at a couple of scriptures here. Look at Psalms 103. Now, I know I'm teaching to the choir here tonight. I know that. But I just want you to understand how... If nothing else, then Ephesians, you should understand how lost you was, how saved you are. And Christ living in us. Psalms 103, verse 11 and 12. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. See, you can't measure the love of Christ. You can't measure the work of Christ. You can't measure how much greatness is in saving us and living in us tonight. All right, drop down to verse 17. But the mercy of the Lord is where? From everlasting to everlasting. For them that fear Him and His righteousness unto children's children. Huh? About Job 11. Job 11. And it's talking about here, I think, Eliezer. How you say his name? Zophar. And chapter 11 is Zophar. Zophar is talking to Job, and he's talking about the greatness of the Lord. Look at verse 5. But oh, that God would speak and open His lips against thee, and that He would show thee the secrets of wisdom, that they are double that to that which is. Know therefore that God is active of the less than iniquity deserveth. Canst thou by searching find out God? He's past finding out. Huh? Canst thou find out the Almighty into perfection? It is as high as heaven. What canst thou do? Deeper than hell. What canst thou know? See, God reaches further than we can comprehend. Huh? The measure thereof is longer than the earth and broader than the sea. If He cut off and shut up or gather together, then who can hinder Him? For He knoweth vain men. He seeth wickedness also. Will He not then consider it? It just shows the greatness, His greatness. And that's what Paul wants to see, the fullness of God. See? And I can't understand that without Christ being in me. Are y'all okay with what I'm trying to tell you tonight? Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I read this over and over and over, and I have a hard time grasping it all. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14 says, For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. For the love of Christ, that's that love that passeth everything constrains me. Are we still okay? Let's see if we'll just finish up here tonight, maybe. Now let's look at verse 19. And to know the love of Christ with passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Huh? Because of what we've read, because of all we know, because of the working of Christ in us, He's able to do so much more than we can think, you know, and so much more than we can understand. Again, I got wrote down there on your paper that God lives inside the believer. He works with the believer. He works through the believer. He answers prayer on the believer's part through the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
See, that's not a little thing. Are y'all okay with that? Huh? Now, verse 21. And to him be glory in the church, in the body, in the bride. And to him be glory in the church. How? By Christ Jesus. Throughout all ages. Alright? He received all glory in the church, in the body, by Christ Jesus for all eternity. Trophies of grace is what it is. Rewards of Christ's suffering. Possessions of the purchased, for the purchased product, if you would, by the blood of Christ. And to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. All right? That's the best I can give you in chapter 3. All right, next week we'll look at chapter 4. What do you say? That be all right? All right. Enjoy Christ being in you and you in him and him with Christ in God. He's in you and through him, by him, for him, all glory goes. See you soon.